Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Brett Hayes, one of your most interesting sub-areas is the Supreme Court of the United States. And this is going to be a big year for the Supreme Court. Maybe you can tell us something about what's coming up.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it has been in the news. The Supreme Court recently heard oral arguments on the constitutionality of the Voting Rights Act. At question in that case was whether a Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, which requires essentially certain jurisdictions with a history of racial discrimination to gain preclearance when they want to make changes to their voting rules, including things like how they draw their voting districts. And essentially, the argument coming out of certain southern jurisdictions is that it's discriminatory, right? That Congress is unfairly targeting these groups, and that the original purpose of the Voting Rights Act was really concerned with ending Jim Crow forms of segregation and exclusion. And those are largely gone. And any type of vestige of those types of discriminations can be handled in other ways. There's another section in the Voting Rights Act that would still apply, and it would allow people that are being discriminated against to bring lawsuits, right? So after the discrimination has occurred, they could bring a lawsuit to challenge. But this is really interesting because the Voting Rights Act, of course, has been renewed many times by Congress, most recently in 2006. And it was renewed unanimously in the Senate. I mean, you think about that now in the political conditions that we have, even in 2006, that it was renewed unanimously in the Senate really says something. It was near unanimous in the House as well. And then, of course, signed into law by President Bush. And yet, the Supreme Court, during the course of their oral arguments, at least five of the membership of the court expressed great skepticism about whether, in fact, this was appropriate given the changes that we've seen in the South and in racial egalitarianism more generally. So this is a really interesting issue because I think it speaks to that question of, you know, how far have we gone, right? Do in fact we need to have things like preclearance allowing the Department of Justice to kind of monitor certain jurisdictions in the South? Or, in fact, should we, you know, kind of remove that and treat the South the same as all other jurisdictions?
What do you expect the court to do? I'll tell you what I think is going to happen.
Yeah.
I think by a vote of 5-4, they're going to throw it out.
That would be my inclination as well. There was, there's always a bit of a danger in extrapolating votes from the way oral argument goes. We saw that, for example, with the case of Obamacare, of the Affordable Care Act. But I'm with you. I think there was so much skepticism expressed that I was actually surprised at the degree. I mean, you know, Justice Scalia, you know, really, you know, almost went out of his way to kind of, castigate this act as a racial entitlement, which was really shocking. In fact, people reported that there was like a gasp in the room.
Maybe shocking to you, not to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's perhaps shocking that he would say it, right? I mean, I just, mm-hmm. I was, you know, again, it was quite surprising. So in that sense, I think you do see a very divided court, one that is viewing this with great skepticism. But there also is a really interesting question here about congressional power. Does Congress have the authority under the 15th Amendment, which, you know, clearly gives Congress the authority to enforce certain voting rights, particularly pertaining to people that were discriminated against. You know, does this, in fact, allow them to make legislative decisions about how it will be enforced, right? You know, from 1965 on, when there have been challenges, the Supreme Court has upheld that. But now there's a new skepticism. And so there's a different frame. We can see this in terms of, you know, the ways in which the Voting Rights Act protects certain historically discriminated against groups. But we can also look at this in terms of congressional power. And when we look at it in terms of the Supreme Court's vision of congressional authority, that changes a little bit. And we saw, for example, Chief Justice Roberts be more willing to allow Congress to regulate something like, you know, healthcare, national healthcare policy in the Affordable Care Act case. So, you know, it when we apply different lenses, the analysis changes a little bit. But there did seem to be a lot of hostility in the room towards the Voting Rights Act.
What else is coming up?
Well, as we've also been seeing, there's been a lot on same-sex marriage. Of course, there are two cases that are coming before the Supreme Court. And I think we've even talked about that a little bit in this segment before. But what in some ways is new is that there's a lot of momentum all of a sudden to join the pro-same-sex marriage side. Corporations have been rushing forward and attempting to file amicus briefs to say we're on the side of same-sex marriage. The Obama administration has now, in the case coming out of California and Proposition 8, has filed an amicus brief.
Why don't you explain, I'm sorry, Brad, why don't you explain that Proposition 8 thing just in case anybody's missed
sure.
it?
Sure. In California, there was a state court case that essentially said that under the state constitution that same-sex couples should have the same right to marry as opposite-sex couples. Then there was a proposition movement, a popular referendum, essentially, that to pass a constitutional amendment to define marriage as between one man and one woman, which passed. It barely passed, but it passed. Subsequent to that, there was a judicial challenge in federal court, essentially saying that what Proposition 8 did was to discriminate against one group. It was to single out one group for a particular type of discriminatory treatment. And based on that, they said that the lower federal court said that this violates the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, which has then now been appealed up before the United States Supreme Court. So the Obama administration has taken the position that you cannot single out gays, lesbians, the transgendered for disparate treatment absent an important government interest, which is different than just kind of a normal, everyday interest that the government has. In other words, it's asking the court to apply something called heightened scrutiny, which generally means that when the court applies that, most kinds of government policies fail, right, when they come up against this kind of scrutiny. And so the Obama administration has staked out greater protection, or at least a position for greater protection for same-sex couples in the context of marriage. And, you know, and that is a change. It wasn't clear that they were going to take that position. What they had done previously, the administration is a party to the other challenge in the same-sex marriage cases that involves the Defense of Marriage Act. Of course, that's a federal statute.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so they've basically said that they don't believe the law is constitutional and that they've not offered a robust defense of it as a consequence. But, you know, they did not actually have to appear for the Proposition 8 case. And the fact that they did, again, is a signal that, you know, Obama's really, you know, he's obviously changed his view and he's marshaled institutional resources to realize that policy.
Well, Brad Hayes, we're running out of time here, but I want to give you my prediction.
Please do.
5-4 against the gay marriage propositions in both cases.
Here's the thing, though. Justice Kennedy has authored the last two.
He's the fifth, but he's the
swing vote. And he has authored the last two opinions that have granted greater protection to gays, lesbians, and the transgendered. And so he appears on this issue to be much more kind of libertarian and mm-hmm. Seems to not be very comfortable with governmental exclusion. And so I think there's a lot of reason to be optimistic, you don't want to be overly optimistic, but optimistic that, in fact, that same-sex marriage will receive some form of victory. It may not receive that ultimate one where there's a guaranteed constitutional right for same-sex marriage, but that there may, in fact, be greater entitlement for same-sex couples in California and New York to get married.
Brad Hayes is assistant professor of political science at Union College. He holds a PhD in government and politics from the University of Maryland. His areas of expertise include American political development, constitutional politics, American institutions, and we are very proud and delighted to have him here with us as our scholar in residence. Thank you, Brad.
Always a thrill.